Call a transportation committee meeting to order, 3:35, January 27th, and let the record show that Senator Josephson, Senator Pate, Senator Coghill were present. Our program this afternoon is to, for the committee, is to get a presentation or a report from Barry Moorhead, who's the Division Administrator for the Federal Highway Administration Office for Alaska. We want to basically get a report from Barry as to what kind of monies are available, what kind of monies has the state had available, what kind of monies did the state utilize, what's happening on the federal scene as far as different programs. And it's a kind of a fitting presentation to start our week out, because this is National Truck and Bus Safety Week, and we might even talk about that too, Barry. So why don't you come forward there's no inquiry or anything. We're just kind of wanting to kind of get involved into the mainstream of where most of our dollars come from as far as.
Well, I made a quickie.
Is that the same one you gave
me?
Okay, I've got mine.
That gives a pretty good picture of what the state was able to do last year as far as federal funding goes. They obligated $161 million worth of federal aid funds last year. This next column, where it shows the unobligated balance of $42 million, that's dollars that's in your account, but we wouldn't let you spend it because last year they had what they call obligational controls. It's supposed to help stem inflation, and they put a limit on each of the states. Alaska's was $161 million is all that they could obligate this past year. So the $42 million is there and it's in your account, but we wouldn't let you spend it.
Okay, Barry, what you're saying is that if we put A, we put A on column, the first column, mm-hmm. is the obligation, that's the amount that...
That's the amount that went to contract last year. Or was used for preliminary engineering, or it was used for buying right away.
The state spent that money,
right.
Or obligated that money?
Obligated that money. Yes.
Okay. But there really is needed to be another column. What we would say, total amount eligible. Is that correct?
Well, there might need to be another column that showed total amount of dollars obligated, which would include what the state also put up, but this is just the
federal money.
This is just the federal money.
So the state in a variety of different programs obligated $161 million.
Right.
You won't let them. You've only let them spend what, 138 or something?
No, we let them spend 161.
But you won't. I don't understand then the $42 million.
Okay. At the beginning of 1985, there was in your different bank accounts, if you would want to call it that, mm-hmm. the ability to spend what column A and column B total would be, $203 million.
That would be then the fiscal year's eligibility.
That would have been the amount of allocations. And what's the other term that we use? Authorizations.
Okay.
Like what happens, Congress would say in the primary fund there's $2 billion. And then they, by formula, they split those out and it shows that Alaska gets like, you know, $80 million.
But then you, because of fiscal constraints, you cut them back to the four, you cut them back 42 million. You said you can't spend that. And these are the areas which they were cut back as your different interstate.
Yeah, these were the amounts left in those accounts that if there were no controls, you could have spent that additional money. But there was the control, so you couldn't.
Senator.
This was done pursuant to a national directive.
Actually, it was congressional. Congress passed the limit, I think last year it was like $13 billion nationally.
Now, do you know, as in the last case, whether or in what cases this money would have put out to contract, or in what cases this was a paper loss because the money was not legal or could not be contracted?
If I understand your question, the money is not lost yet.
No, let me talk in terms of deferment. What I'm trying to get at is, let's take a, I don't know what these mean, but account W. There is an unobligated balance of almost $9 million. Do I infer then that that amount of money would have been spent under that account in the fiscal year or obligated in the fiscal year, but wasn't because of the restraint, or does it happen to be money that the state might not have been ready to spend anyway? Or do you know?
Well, in that particular account, which is urban system money, they could have spent that.
Was the state instructed as to, within the $42 million total, which accounts would be handled as unobligated balances, or did the DOTPF have its discretion as to what would make these reductions?
They had their discretion.
Let me paraphrase it in another way. In other words, the 42.7 in column B, unobligated, you didn't dictate to the state where it was going to be taken out of. They were the ones that did this. Said, well, if we have to cut back, this is where we're going to cut back.
Yeah.
Barry, would you, for the committee, why don't we just go down each one of those categories and kind of just, I think some of them are self-explanatory, but could you just kind of give us a broad brush in one or two sentences what each one of these categories mean?
Okay. The first one, interstate, your congressional folks were successful in getting some sections of highway in this state designated interstate, even though it's not really interstate, but it is on paper. And since they were able to do that, you get a quarter of 1%, no, a half of 1% of the money that Congress says should be made available to the states for interstate highway. You've got the same thing on, and you can use that on those main routes, which are your main routes, for any type of construction.
Okay.
The part they call Interstate 4R is it's for reconstruction, resurfacing, rehabilitation, and there's one more R in there, but essentially it's
rehabilitation.
It essentially means that you can redo a highway that's already there.
Okay, and the interstate that they've got, that they have, the total interstate, or the interstate that we're talking about is basically the Alaska Highway, the Parks Highway, Richardson Highway, and the...
Seward Highway, Glen Highway.
Sterling.
I think it's just the main triangle. One that's designated interstate.
It's the triangle that connects with the Canadian border.
Well, and does go down, you know, it goes up to Fairbanks and down to Anchorage, and it may go down a little bit below.
Does that go to Seward?
I don't know if it does or not.
We need to know that.
We'd like to have you, if you could have your people give us an actual designation of what system is interstate in Alaska. We could probably get that from, but it's important that we know that. Yes, Senator.
On the first 042 money, the interstate money, was that Minnesota bypass money or Diamond Boulevard money?
Well,
it wouldn't have been, would it?
I don't believe so.
Well, where was that?
I think that was probably primary.
Urban.
And urban, but see, this state only gets about $3 million a year in urban money, about $4 million.
So we turn back 3.8.
No, I mean up 042, the interstate money.
No, that's not.
We spent $28 million. Up at the very top, the very first line.
Yeah, you obligated 29.90.
Right.
Some of that highway you went over this summer.
You mean that gorgeous 4-lane that nobody drives on up there?
I'm not real sure what funds were used on Minnesota.
Would you?
If I were speculating, I would say it was primary, probably all primary, and maybe some secondary.
Do, okay. Yes, Senator.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Do you have the capability of telling us what the state spent these dollars on by road?
Do you have a run sheet?
The sheet that I have list all the projects, and then I would have to go to each project file to see what the determinant I was. I could do it, but I sure don't want to. If I could talk you out of it, but I could.
Mr. Chairman, that should be available through DOTPS easily.
I do know that they have a map where they've got most of their major projects. That may be a project that was obligated 2 years ago, too.
Is there anybody from DOTPUF here? Is there a spy here from DOTPUF?
Do we have a DOTPUF person here?
No, Susan said that she was going to be here, but she's not spying.
Okay.
Today.
Nobody here yet. The thing is that let's go down through them. I mean, the thing is that we don't want to create a problem for you, but that possibly in the backup material for getting this status, that you had what I hadn't anticipated individual roads, but basically structural roads.
Uh-huh.
You know, I guess the question that probably will come of mind is consolidated primary.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like we dumped ourselves almost $20 million out of our construction season that's where we've lost. Is that correct?
You haven't lost anything that you had control of.
Yeah, but what you're saying, Barry, is the $42.7 million.
Mm-hmm.
The federal Congress or the federal people said to the state, you have a total allocation of $204 million,
mm-hmm.
but we're by austere measures, we're saying you don't spend $42 million in this. So that.
And if you think that's bad, wait till we get over to this.
I understand, but I don't want to get in this year yet.
Okay.
So then you're telling me that, you're telling the committee that of the $42.7 million, DOTPF come and said, Mr. Administrator, these are the projects that might have been engineered, that might be on the shelf, but these are the ones that we want to delete.
No, it went the other way. What happened was I told them ahead of time what their overall amount of money was that they were going to be able to obligate, and they started telling me which projects they thought that they would have ready to go. Toward the end of the year, decided which ones within a very small amount of money that they were gonna go with and which ones that they weren't.
That's what I wanted to get at. First of all, the money in column B is not lost. It carries, theoretically, it carries over subject to any further reduction. And when the state reports that under account 010, we are going to not obligate this year the $19.9 million, it may be that that, or a portion of that amount, is not ready to be contracted for.
Well, I'm sure that that's probably true.
So, with the plan being that they would go into the 86 season with that amount. And if you add columns C and D, well, the difference between column D and column C is column B.
Correct.
So what you're saying is that you've had a moratorium on certain spending. That moratorium, that eligibility or authorization from the federal, because of formulas, then they say, we're going to cut you back this far, but that eligibility is going to go forward. So that comes on to our FY86 appropriation. But then you just got done saying, wait until you see the bad news, what's going to happen here. So what you're saying is in 5 years down the line, if we continue this, we'll have five times the amount of eligibility that we're never going to be able to spend anyway. So it's a dream tank.
Well, not necessarily. I hope it isn't. As long as Congress continues to put the obligational limitation on that's less than the new monies that are coming in, I guess it would be a drain tank.
The reason why I'm asking that, Barry, is that this money is not Congress's to funny with. This is all done by formula, by gas tax, by formulas of tire, battery, excise tax. So this highway fund, where's that money going then? To the Social Security account?
Well, it may be being loaned to the Social Security account, but it's not, it can't go anywhere currently other than into highways.
But in other words, what you're saying is that the law is being followed as far as allocating it there, but then they're saying, well, we need this money someplace else, so we're just borrowing it temporarily and we're putting it over into defense effort, or we're putting it over here, but we're not spending their money, we're just borrowing it, but we are telling the states, we're not going to give you the money that is due you under an obligation of authority, of authorization.
That's pretty much it, yeah.
Okay.
I apologize for being late. Column A, that $161 million, that's cash available to the state, right?
Right.
Okay. Then I guess when I'm going to the end, where it says total available for fiscal Y86, that's just a hypothetical number. The actual cash will be what? In terms of money that we can expend out of that, will be about what, you know?
Well, when this form was made up, the amount that would be made available to the state was $147 million.
Which is less than fiscal 85, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so
and
then
since that time, Congress changed the obligation limitation from 13.25 billion to 12.75, and that limit went down to 142 million.
Okay. 142,624,632.
Okay. How did you get that?
Barry gave it to me last week.
Okay, so I guess I'm more concerned about the actual cash dollars we're going to have to spend. So for fiscal 86, we can count $142 million coming into the state. Cash in hand, we can go to the bank and say, here, we're going to pay for this project with federal dollars. These projects totaling up to $142 million. Right? That's the ceiling that we have.
That's the ceiling that we have today. And what happens, that is what, when we're talking about obligations, we're obligating the federal government to reimburse the state for monies that they spend. So some of this, you know, may not really be hard dollars until next year or year after, you know, when they're paying out the contract.
So the state has to make the expenditure, then you reimburse the state.
Correct.
But we do know that we're gonna get that 142 before we start spending. No.
The only reason that I'm hesitant right now is that Graham Rudman calling. And the I heard today that it looked like we might be cut another 4.3% on the obligation limitation. And the other day I heard that was 4.3% of the actual cash flow. Was cash flow would be a lot more than 4.3%.
Chairman, just go ahead. If we go back to fiscal 85, okay, how long can the state carry that on their books before you say, hey, we got to do something here? We just can't let you carry an appropriation in 85. When they identify projects, say, in 85, for that expenditure, but for some reason we just sit on the projects or don't even do it.
You're talking about column B, Senator?
No, we're talking column A.
Okay.
The hard cash. Do we ever lose it because we don't use it in a timely fashion?
It's in the law that you can lose that. We haven't so far, but if we keep going like we're going, I can't see how you keep losing something.
Sure.
Because usually you can carry over, and it's by each of these categories. It usually amounts to about 3 years. You know, like if you get 20 million in interstate, that's good for 3 years. But if it keeps building up because you can't get it obligated because there's a control, somewhere down the line, we'd have to say some of that money is going to lapse because you didn't use it, even though we've told you that you can't use it. So,
well,
yes.
Do you know, for budget, federal budget making purposes, where is that? Pocketed or reported that unobligated balance, is that shown as a federal obligation? Does it enter into the computation of the deficit for grant revenue?
They're entering it into the computation somehow.
So one way to reduce that is if we strike those unobligated balances out.
No, I guess it go the other way, because those unobligated balances are dollars that the federal government at current time not obligated to reimburse anybody for, and money's still coming in out of the into the trust fund from gas taxes and whatever.
That's my point, Senator, is that there's a federal law that our people, our constituents, are paying so much federal tax on gasoline, so much on tires, batteries, and stuff, and it's going, and all of that commodity tax is supposed to be going into the Federal Highway Revolving Fund that has a formula on the number of miles of road you have, the number of interstate roads you have, the size of the state. There's a formula, right, Moorhead, that it goes by. That's how you figure the total eligibility of the this year, or the last year preceding year, being $204 million that is supposed to be transmitted to the state of Alaska for matching purposes for highway programs, safety. And I want to go down all of these particular systems that we've got here and just get a kind of an idea from. But what happens here is that now they're saying because of reductions and because of the austerity, we're telling you cut out 42.7 million. They're saying that money is not due you, because it is due the state. It's just that we're saying don't spend that because we haven't got it to spend. I'm kind of wondering, because of the formulas in the Federal Highway Act, what's happening to all of those hundreds of millions of dollars do the other 49 states? Is that what's Congress doing with it, Barry? Do you have, if, you know, my purpose in asking this question is, should there maybe be a strong resolution coming out of the state to our congressional delegations, leave our money alone?
Well, about 2 months ago, there was an attempt to take the highway trust fund out of that calculation. It didn't pass.
You mean the grand revenue?
Well, yeah.
To make it exempt from the grand revenue.
Right.
Yeah. And there's a proposal right now to take the airport, aid to airports out for the same purpose. How that stands, I don't know, but the highway trust fund taking it out didn't pass Congress. So.
Well, maybe we need to make the general public aware of it through an action of the state senate to our congressional delegations, knowing that we're on top of it. Because if you follow that, next year that reserve fund or phantom fund, whatever it is out there, will be 72.2 million.
Or more.
According to, or more. Yes, Senator.
As I understand what Chairman Cockrell is getting at, is that there is a trust relationship and money comes into the federal government's control for a specific purpose. And I presume in the debate, the argument was that this is a kind of dedicated fund.
It's a trust fund.
And since the money can only be spent for that purpose anyway, it should be exempt from the grand revenue.
Right.
And then the question arises, if it isn't exempt from the grand revenue, does it just sit in the fund? And what good is it to anybody sitting there? And what states are going to lose? Do you have in your office any summary of those debates, or how anything that can give us information about who said what on both sides of that question?
I'm sure that on the discussion of whether or not to exempt that, those hearings will be in print pretty soon.
Would they come to you?
Yeah, we'll be
able to share any of that, sir.
Senator Fisher. Just a question, so I bring this up today. The trust funds themselves, are they greater than the figures here, or are they less? Does the federal government add from the general revenue to that trust fund to come up with highway dollars?
No.
Oh, it does. So that they know if we are getting to it.
Yes,
that's
okay. Well, that's another one of whether or not you're getting shortchanged, because I think the last calculation was that you get about 8.5 times what you pay in. This state does.
Yes, you know, but it's a formula that
sure.
That I mean, it's still a formula that treats, because the theory there being that where the busier states.
Well,
it's just like the theory that we have in Alaska is that commerce all starts and animates in Anchorage, and so therefore Anchorage has got an obligation to help the small airports and stuff like that. Which,
well,
I know that the Anchorage delegation has always been supportive of.
Yeah. If we had more federally sponsored roads, we'd pay more taxes because we have more miles to travel on.
That's correct.
If I weren't quoted, though, I would say that it probably wouldn't hurt you any if you did indicate that we're getting further in the hole here and you don't like it.
Well, plus the fact is that there's a new, that, you know, I'd like to go down these, because
sure.
I've got a couple
sure.
questions on safety, that on the new safety program, and is Graham Rudman also taking that money? But Barry, we got
okay.
His questions all answered on the interstate, of course, not being able to tell us exactly the highways, but it is basically the trunks that
right.
come in.
And then essentially the primary was really all of your major routes. That are now, some of them are called interstate. And, but there's different designations, like primary is your major arterial type roads, and then the secondary, naturally, is the feeders that go into them. And what they did in all the states was sit down with the state and decide which routes are interstate, which ones are primary, which ones are secondary, which ones are urban. And there's criteria for each of those, and they're designated, and the state's got maps that says this is the urban route.
But the urban, this I think is where the senators from the Anchorage or from the larger communities are concerned with, that out of the 42, almost a quarter of it was denied by the state. And yet we've got a traffic problem in Anchorage that is mind-boggling.
Well, if you'll recall from the if you got the same presentation that I did on that project cleanup thing that the state went through last year, on this particular one, we were hearing from Anchorage that they needed more money for buses. You can spend urban money on buses.
Mass transit.
And we got to looking and we said, well, you know, there's $9 million in there already. And the state and the city showed almost a zero balance. And what apparently had happened was the city proposed buses. The state said, good idea. They went along with it, and somehow they were buying buses, but they never did come over and ask us to participate. So the city got their buses, and the money was spent, but it didn't come out of our fund, and that's the reason that balance was shown.
I mean, it could have.
It could have, yeah.
I mean, the city could have used your funds to buy the buses.
Can they now? Can you retro pay them?
Whose boo-boo was that? Would that, what do you call it,
well,
federal FERC?
I think, NAP and company covered that, didn't they? At least they did with me.
They didn't with me.
Well, that's one that when they really got to looking into, you know, trying to resolve
A-NAPs.
Some of those issues, that one hit everybody in the eye.
Well, isn't this the function of AMAPs? And
well, that's part of it. The fiscal end of it's DOT.
Between who?
It's the department.
DOT, PF, and Federal Highway.
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Do you know how they paid for the buses?
No.
Were local funds used as bond money from the city of Anchorage?
I think so.
State money.
That's what I would think.
For the local bus from Anchorage.
And somebody forgot to come tell you.
But now, let me ask the follow-up question to that, though. If they had come to you and asked you to fund the buses, that would have changed the obligation under urban down from the 8.9 million that they passed over. Where would that have come from then in your formula?
So wherever the state wanted it to be. There would have been 8.9 million of something else that wasn't spent.
So it may be that the state in the net, at the bottom of it didn't lose anything. They just got federal money for something else.
Except, Senator, that if it had been a primary road or it had been engineering or something, it could have been passed on to the next. Now, this last year, the buses were bought, the money's gone, there's no retroactive pay to it, so you lost that 93% match. Is that correct?
Well, the only thing that you've really lost is the flexibility. There's only certain things that you can spend urban money for. If you had spent that urban money, well, I don't know how to say this.
Well,
properly.
Do you know if or not there are urban programs other
useful you find it.
Oh, yeah, there's several projects that's currently being proposed to utilize the 9 million in urban areas.
Senator?
I mean, I guess maybe I'm really confused.
Well, I'm not helping you, Mike.
No, if under urban there were $9 million expended, let's say they bought the buses, that means something else is gonna have to be reduced by that amount, right? Okay, now, the $62 million for consolidated primary to $41 million for rural secondary, who comes up with those figures? You, or is it the state? You do.
Yeah.
Okay, so what you do then is you look at something like non-interstate, you say, gee, there's $114 million there. How do you decide, I'm trying to figure how you do things, how you decide which of these categories gets how much? Is there a formula that you use?
Yeah, nearly all of these categories here are established by formula. And they, you know, calculated out the.
If that's the case, then it should have been, say, for urban, the 9 million would have stayed. You go by formula, who decides which ones then are subtracted from to make up that 9 million? I guess that's where I'm not, assuming it had stayed for the buses, and $9 million was, you know, was expended for buses. And if you go by a formula, how do you decide which category is more important than the other? Because if you left the 9 million in, how would you decide where it comes from?
Well, that's supposed to be the state's decision primarily, that they decide which projects they want to go with. We don't decide.
So that if the state said, okay, we're gonna let this 8-9 go to the unobligated, but we wanna increase consolidated primary by a like amount, is this what you're saying, after you come up with your figures? Does the state have that flexibility to, within these various, I'll call them accounts, to change the dollars according to state needs?
Pretty much. This state's got a little bit more flexibility than most. But I think what you're getting at there is if the state had decided we want to spend $8.9 million of urban money on Minnesota, there would have been $8.9 million of something else here that didn't get funded. Because the total amount is going to be 161.
And I think that what the committee's getting at, who makes that decision call? State?
State.
So
the only input that we really have in that is if you propose to do something that we really didn't think needed to be done. And that doesn't.
Well, I know example of that. An intermediate upgrade of a road that's about to be overhauled into a major interstate. You
right.
don't like that.
Right.
You don't like making intermediate or any kind of beginning adjustments on a road that's just going to be dug up again in 2 years.
That's correct. Yeah, that's
good. You know, I don't want to cut off questions, but I want to kind of get, I'd like to get have the committee get a full understanding of this whole sheet that's in front of us. And we've
okay.
gone down the interstates, and we've gone down the primary three R's, which means that there wasn't anything in there. That's the three rehabilitation structures in the primary. Then we got the rural secondary. Now, what very roads does that really entail? Because I noticed that if the $41 million of the obligation was spent in that direction rather than in urban for traffic count, what does that entail?
Well, usually what happens on those is the designation for secondary is like any of the roads outside of Anchorage, or even the ones coming into Anchorage other than the primaries, at the city limits line would essentially change from secondary to urban, just the designation would be.
But that's not rural secondary roads, though, is it, Barry? Because you've got the roads leading into Anchorage are really interstate.
The main ones are, yeah.
Yeah, and your primary roads are your roads that go from, like, for example, primary road leading out of Fairbanks,
primary road, the road that goes from Fairbanks to Circle Hot Springs.
Well,
Chino Hot Springs. That's not a rural secondary.
A local example here. The road over here from the bridge out to the other end of Douglas, that's a secondary.
The North Road?
Yeah.
Is that called a rural secondary? Why do we put rural on it?
Because that was a designation in the legislation that says these would be called rural secondary.
Okay, all right.
And then the Eden Expressway out here is the primary, which carries more traffic than the other.
Okay.
And some of these city streets here, the major ones are urban, on the urban system.
Yes. All right, then, so we're saying that there is no primary roads in Juneau then?
Well, Eden Expressway.
Eden Expressway is a primary. The rest of them are rural secondary, except what's inside the city limits of Juneau, which are urban.
How far does the Eden Expressway go to be primary? Does it go all the way to the end?
I don't know if it goes all the way to the end or just to the ferry terminal, because it might just go to the ferry terminal and then it may change designation to rural primary. I'm sure that the road that goes up to the Alyeska ski area probably comes off of the primary, and that's probably called the secondary that's going up the hill.
But if they, but that road may very well be an interstate.
It could, the main road may be. But what, the state has all of these different systems on the map.
Yeah, well, we're going to get that, but we want to kind of get an idea from you, from another source, as to how these fundings come into play. And we, so we can ask some intelligent questions when we get down to the, but the thing is that I guess what's bothering me more than anything is that the emphasis was put on rural secondary instead of on traffic rural, or I mean urban. And that is, and all I need to know, and I guess, and I've got the question, is that that was a state call.
It's a state call, except what you had mentioned a while ago about flexibility. There is a lot of these monies that are spent on urban routes that aren't urban money.
That are secondary money.
Could be secondary or it could be primary. But there isn't the ability in this state to spend money on an urban route and use some of these other funds. You don't have to get, because, you know, with $3 million annually in urban funds, you couldn't possibly make the improvements that you need to make in your urban area. So you have the flexibility of using secondary money or primary money on what would normally be considered an urban system project.
So therefore, the priorities have to be put together in order to get into this, and I'm speaking now to the senators from the urban area as a resolution, legislature, DOT, saying we will spend, and if we have an allocation of X number of dollars, we will spend that allocation on urban for this particular funding year. That would get the message to our side of the state side of the issue.
What I would do if I were you is I would take a look at the state's 6-year plan, whatever they call it, 5-year plan, six-year
plan.
Take a look at the projects that are proposed in the current fiscal year.
Okay.
And say this is a good idea or this isn't a good idea.
Okay. But as long as we've got, but before we started, we had to have this $214 million cap, which has gone now down to $142 million, which is $72 million, which still gives me some heartburn, because that is trust money.
But, Mr. Chairman, as I understand, in order to make a judgment whether the state's spending pattern was, if you will,
type fund, they included that in some of the other legislation and call it consolidated fund.
Elsewhere, in other words.
You know, they change the name a lot of times on these.
Fairly, is there any questions?
Yes, sir.
I'd like to go down and describe all of these, and then we can go.
Okay, well, can I just, because the question, you had mentioned, using the example of Girdwood, for example, to Alyeska. Do you have a inventory of qualified roads that can be, that we can spend federal funds for?
We have a listing or a systems map, I guess they call them, that shows all of the so-called federal aid routes, and that'd be the primary and the interstate, and any project on that road within those limits could be eligible for federal aid funds.
Okay, let me ask you this then. If there's a road that's not on that, for example, Girdwood, I would seriously doubt whether that would be on any kind of federal highway plan at all. So we can have roads that are, quote, not federal roads, still qualify for federal dollars.
Right now, the only projects that we can have off the federal aid system are some minor safety improvement, hazard elimination money we can spend off the federal aid system, and some bridge replacement money we can spend off the federal aid system. But essentially, everything else has to be on the system or we can't.
So you would have an inventory somewhere. Can I get access to something that I can look in my area and say, gee, so-and-so loop road, so I would know in my mind whether or not it's part of the system that would qualify for federal dollars?
Yes.
Senator, I have the whole map for Anchorage in my office, all color-coded and everything that Dot Puff did for me.
Dot Puff did it or Barry?
Dot Puff.
Did.
Okay.
Okay. Then I could probably get the Kenai Peninsula.
Yes, absolutely.
Let's ask for it.
Okay, I did have one other question.
Yes, sir.
We talked about the six-year plan. You're not held by anything on that, so that if in the six-year plan all of a sudden a project comes along, it's not even listed in the six-year plan, but there's a project for engineering and design money, you don't argue with the state saying that's not part of your six-year plan, therefore we're not going to fund it.
I could. What we normally do, we're required by law to pass what they call an annual element. We're required to approve what the state proposes to spend their monies on for a year's period. If the state comes up with something that says, here's something that we hadn't thought of, and if we really need to do it, it doesn't take very long to put that in this annual element that we call it.
And
what the state usually does is, like, you know, we've got the $147 million. They'll come over with a little more. They've been coming over with a lot more than the $147 million. We keep trying to squeeze that down to something that's somewhat close. And we say, yeah, that's good. But we don't usually have much problems with what the state proposes.
I have a general question, if I can wait to the end.
Okay. Let's go down. Why 115, which is our next subject, special bridge replacement, how did your formula come out with a minus 21 million?
Well, what happened, that's 1,000, 21,000.
About 21,000, excuse me.
The special bridge replacement program is set up for bridges that cost more than $10 million, or bridges that are more than two times the state's apportionment in bridge replacement money. You know, because sometimes you would have a bridge, and this bridge is the one across over here to Douglas. I don't know what it costs, something like $20 million. And if the state had to use just the funds that become available in bridge replacement, it would take them so many years. And so there was, I think they set up $200 million a year nationally.
Uh-huh.
to, for people to compete for that, and this state got the Juneau Douglas Bridge out of that special money, and when they ended up with the project, there was $21 million.
They still owed on it, huh?
No, I think
or
that
allocated.
That was excess. We had, I guess we had $33 million total. I mean, 1,000, yeah, thank you. 33,000 that the state could have spent but didn't need to. So that money will go back into the bridge replacement.
There you go, for sure.
Yeah, all right.
Well, how does it go? I understand the 33,382 is unobligated. The project is completed and the money is no longer available and will be deferred. What's the relationship between the 21 minus number and the 33 obligated number?
They had 21,000 that was obligated and decided that they didn't need it, so they unobligated that, and there was already a, like a, what would that be, 12?
Yeah,
okay,
all right.
Now, go ahead.
The bridge. Just out of curiosity,
it's no longer available for you, though.
What's our
competitive?
Did you say that there was something
competitive,
for bridges?
$200 million.
Nationally.
Uh-huh.
Okay, let me ask this for instance. Let's say you have a federal road coming down here and you have a river power line. You want to build a bridge from this federal road to a non-federal road to span that river for purposes of, say, civil defense, so those people on the other side have an access to get out. Would that fall within the realm of federal bridge or not?
Probably not this, unless you had a bridge that was there that was decided it was unsafe and you could use it to replace that bridge.
Oh, this is just strictly replacement.
Yeah.
But
if you wanted to build that bridge from scratch, it, you know, and it was a good project, you could put that on some kind of a system and use regular system on that road.
Well, no, this raises another question. How do you get a road added to the system?
You talk to the planning folks.
In your?
No.
Well,
state.
In the state.
The state has
the
state has
it.
You could get
them.
You could put in a Senate concurrent joint resolution.
You can get your little systems map and you can draw a little line in there and say, geez, this would be nice. Get them to submit that.
I learned a lot just with that comment. Thank you.
I have only one resolution a year, though.
What can be?
Anyhow, the this bridge replacement money, the ones that come after this.
Well, the one, but it says no longer available, so that $200 million program is no longer.
No,
no. Look at the next three.
The $200 million program is still available.
Okay.
But as far as what Alaska got out of that, they don't have any right now that they.
Okay.
When do we catch up?
Well, if you have another bridge that meets that criteria that needs replacing.
In items number 117, 118, and 114 is where 115 has gone to.
No, it's all part of one pot. There's like $2 billion nationally to replace bridges.
Okay.
And they took part of that $2 billion and put it over here to one side and said, we're going to call it special bridge replacement money for those high-cost bridges. The others are split out by formula. And then they further split it out when they said that no less than 15% of that money has to be spent off the federal aid system to help.
Is the haul road part of the system?
Yes, it is, and no, it isn't.
That was an easy question for me.
It is on the system. I believe it's on the secondary system. When it, one of the things to qualify a road to be on the system is that it has to be open to traffic. And there's some question of whether or not that's really open to traffic.
That's part of the question, but the thing is that I understand that we've got some below standard bridges that were built that will not take the total bridge load factor. And that's one of the reasons why the safety they make, if you go above the bridge load factor, they have to carry planking and all of the rest of it up there to get across some of those bridges. Yes, Senator.
The bridges across the Kinnick River north of Anchorage going into Palmer and Wasilla, would they qualify as a replacement for this $200 million money? Because they are just a bottleneck. I mean, it's a four-lane highway coming into them on one end and almost a four-lane highway. Well, not really a four-lane highway, but a major widening highway coming on the other, and this is a bottleneck, those two bridges over the Kinnick River. Could they apply for some of this $200 million?
If they meet the criteria that if the bridges are unsafe, there's various rating factors.
Well, how in the world did this thing rate to be unsafe?
Well, you saw pictures of the old bridge.
Well, I went over the old bridge. It didn't look unsafe. It was unsafe.
Apparently, it wouldn't carry the loads, according to the calculations. There's a lot of different criteria. One could be, like you're talking about, if it does cause a constriction, the bridge might not be considered unable to carry the load.
Right.
It may be unsafe to the point where it's hazardous. So it could be possible.
It could be possible. Okay. Would you send me that criteria on the $200 million for bridge replacement?
Okay.
Well, I think send it to the committee, Barry. One of the other things is let's take another, for instance. We've been trying to get a bridge across, quote, Fish Creek, which is a off-system on between Alaska Highway and North Lake. There's a bridge in there in a way that they say we have to appropriate 100% state money for. This would qualify, would it not?
If there's an existing bridge.
Yes, there's an existing bridge there. If you want to call it a bridge.
Well, it has to be a bridge is 20 feet long. I mean, there's all kinds of.
Yeah, it's more than 20 feet long, and it cattywampus like this, and school buses go across it. And we've been. So, all right, good.
So, I would say yes, but I'm sure that the bridge folks can tell you.
Yeah, well, I'm going to find out. Okay. I'll find out from Spencer.
But that's there is some off system monies.
Okay, Chairman.
Yes.
Just for clarification, we're talking these. Bridge replacement shown on these sheets. That's not part of that $200 million that's sitting there, right? Okay, so that would be in addition.
That's correct. Okay. Well, anyhow, some of the money has to be spent off system, some of it has to be spent on system, and some of it can go either way.
What's off system?
Anywhere off of the designated federal aid system.
Secondary, primary,
That map that Senator Fakes was talking about that's got all the federal aid routes marked on it. Mm-hmm. If it's a structure that's not in one of those marked routes, that would be off the federal aid system.
See, there's 15% in there that's for off system, 65% on system, and then there's a discretionary 20 on or off, so that you can, because there are some that are. That, one of the problems, as you well know, in Anchorage, in the greater Cook Inlet area, we got an awful lot of roads that were built by state monies, and nobody knows who maintains them or who they belong to. And I hope that in this next interim, that's one of the things that I'm going to do with the interim committee is to take a good hard look at state's got 7 different systems of roads. See if we can't get those consolidated down. But that's what that means there. Let's go on to hazard elimination. They spent her all, they only left you with 95 cents there, so.
Yeah, yeah. But those are ones that you can use on, like, spot improvements. You know, what, you know, maybe you've got a curb somewhere that's got bad sight distance or something like that, and you can just fix that one location. And that's how, what they use a lot of the hazard elimination money for.
Could, Mr. Chairman, could that be used for a hazard on a off-system road?
I believe there may be some of that money that can be spent off. Seems like it's hazard elimination and bridge replacement are really the only ones that we can. I think some of the railroad crossing money we can spend off the system.
That's
you
sure
want me to find out?
Well, you got that down below there, though, haven't you, Barry? Elimination of hazard railroad crossings down on the last item.
Mm-hmm. But I'm not real sure which of those could be spent off the federal aid system.
Mr. Chairman,
yes.
If I can just continue this thought. If we talk off system, whether it be for hazardous or whatever, hazardous type things or whatever, does that road have to be up to federal specs to begin with? It does not. So that if
you
have
whatever improvement is made has to be darn close to it. You know, has to be going toward making that up to some kind of a reasonable standard.
I guess the, just looking at a road in my area, we have a road that's called East Road in Homer. It's off the system, but it's a real actual mudslide situation, the way the steep grade comes down. And it's going to take some bucks to really fix it up. And it is a hazard. I mean, we can show pictures of cars and ditches and all that. Is that something that remotely could somehow be worked into a federal program where we could say this bend will be straightened out or taken care of through the hazard elimination part of the federal funds?
Well, it sounds pretty remote. If
oh, it
it's,
does.
Okay. You know, if it's the way I've got it pictured in my head, a continual maintenance type problem. That
if you paved it, it probably wouldn't be a continual maintenance.
Oh, it's not mud sliding down from the hillside, then it's.
Well, the water runs down the road, forms. It's a lousy base to begin with. It's not a real gravel base. No worries, it's more or less mud. But I mean, it's something, though, it could be looked at, and maybe it's a 1% shot, but what you're saying is each thing will have to stand on its own merits.
Yeah.
Okay.
And there is, like in that particular category, there's like $990,000 a year that comes available, so that really doesn't stretch very far.
I guess, Mr. Chairman, what I was looking at, if we have the flexibility to say in the urban that no, we're going to spend our money, we're not going to spend that $8.9 million, I was hoping that maybe some of that $8.9 million could be shifted down or something like that.
We can't shift it in that regard. We can shift between primary and secondary and urban, but we can't shift money into hazard elimination or out of it.
But the idea of that, I think, Senator, is so that they've got the flexibility to take care of a situation that comes up immediately that's hazardous to the public, right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, then planning.
And those monies are primarily used for the planning folks out here, and they do some special studies that would qualify for, like traffic counting and those type of things. They can use.
Question go down to then to what is public lands prior 83 public lands?
You skip one, Mr. Chairman.
Oh, metropolitan planning?
Yeah, that's.
Oh, I meant planning, both plannings.
Oh, I have a question.
Well, the metropolitan planning one is one that is really a pass through to the metropolitan areas, which essentially is Anchorage and.
Well, that's that AMAX and.
They use some of
Paramax or whatever they call it.
Pay for that, yes.
I guess what my problem is, I don't know how you define metropolitan within your guidelines, but if you're putting money into the metropolitan areas, then that's where all the planning is going to be occurring. Where does a little community where a federal road runs through or it's on the federal highway system, where do they really get their flexibility or their I don't want to say power, but the ability to get their, quote, fair share of the pot, if the money's going into the metropolitan area for planning. Or they don't have this planning money. That's urban?
Urban.
So you have metropolitan, and another definition of urban?
There's, yeah, one of the definitions is cities 5,000 or more, they can qualify for some of the urban funding.
5,000 or more, you classify as urban.
And then there's another qualification, if you're 50,000 or more, you get some other funds that may be available. But if you're talking about the little ones that are below 5,000, the only hope that they've got is talking to their friendly state.
Your regional people.
I guess.
Your regional people.
Yeah, our regional people, for example. The small community can get an urban, if there's a traffic structure going through Kenai, and you want to get some money in there, you go to the regional people and you go to the city of Kenai and you say, apply for an urban traffic count, and if your traffic count is a certain amount, then you can get an urban upgrade.
Sort of.
I mean, you can get into the machinery.
Yeah.
And
it took me 8 years to get to get streetlights in Nenana when I was mayor.
That's $100,000. If you do this within the state of Alaska, say we'll take the Kenai Peninsula, where you have say 35,000 in this political subdivision, so they would qualify, quote, as an urban area, as a borough. And Kenai would qualify as an urban area for a city because they have over 5,000. But now you have two entities that can be looking at this thing, right?
I guess.
Okay.
I think the planning folks could probably tell you better. When we get to the areas like the boroughs that just keep getting bigger and bigger, whether or not that's classified as one as far as highway funding goes, I'm not real sure.
Could you just find out, in the case of Alaska, what do we do with boroughs versus cities within the borough? If they both have the population, of course, the borough would have a much greater population.
I think they're dealt as one.
Could very well be.
All right, Barry. What's public land? We don't want to hold you past your.
Okay, that's one that it is a special category of funds. There's I think $50 million a year nationally that's set up really to go to states for projects that has public land, federally owned lands.
They must have done away with it because there's nothing on your chart for. Henceforth out.
Well, except on my chart here, we just got word the other day that they did pick up another $2 million in public lands funds, which should go. I think it was $2 million even.
Should go into FY 86 and that should $2 million.
Yeah.
And that will be.
That goes on specific projects that the state proposes, and the project that the state proposed was down on Prince of Wales Island,
yeah.
Thorn Bay, inland, and that's, they asked for about $8 million and they got $2 million.
Okay, so that would be FY 86 then?
Yes.
Okay.
And then the various railroad crossings, one category of funds was set up for, the different type of markings or gates or whatever, one that says protective devices. And then the other one, elimination of hazards, can also be protective devices, or it could be grade separations, it could be planking and what have you to make the crossing better.
But, we have a task force on railroad crossings that I insisted be come aboard last fall, and they're supposed, we're supposed to have an overview, and I would like to have the criteria, and I, you know, I don't want to burden too much, and I don't want to book that big either, is on railroad crossings, is, does this include overpass?
Yeah.
Can include overpass? And...
And so can whatever the federal aid route that goes across the railroad, the funds that come out of that, whether it's primary or so, can be used to build an overcross.
Yeah. Well, you know, because we have one stretch between Fairbanks and Isleston. We got 27 railroad crossings just in that little stretch there. And the railroad is saying no more, but how can you say no more when they've been there since before the railroad was put in? They, you know, and we've got homesteads now that are subdividing, so instead of having two homesteaders out on one side of the railroad crossing, now we've got a subdivision, 250 houses going in, and of course then the backcountry type railroad crossing is not going to fit, but the railroad's saying we're not going to issue it. And that's part of the task force. But when I see that they've got 2.5 million that they turned back on railroad crossings, I scratch my head and wonder if somebody has got their priorities screwed up.
Well, I think they're going to use part of that on that project in Fairbanks, the one where you're going to have the grade separation that goes across the yard. I think that certainly should be. I think that was one of their proposals.
Consolidated primary.
Yeah, but I think they're going to use some of this money too.
I know it. Okay, we'll find out about that. Okay. I know, and I don't want to keep Barry out of 5 o'clock.
One more thing though, this shack whack.
Yeah, what's that?
That's that highway that goes from Haines Junction. It goes from Haines to Haines Junction and from Haines Junction over to the border.
Canadian. Huh?
Yeah. Where? And initially, that was a project that one of your previous, was it a senator? I don't remember who it was now that got that thing going, and they were getting general fund money for that. Anyhow, they got about $15 million or so, and then Congress decided not to fund it out of the general fund anymore. But they did put a provision in the highway legislation that says that Alaska, if they want to, can spend some of their money on that highway. And it does not come out of your obligational ceiling. And I don't know how long that's going to last, but you know, like the $42 million in column B down there. If you did think that that was a, you know, a decent project to spend some money on, which I understand you all have okayed some additional funding, but that is one place that you've got some latitude that nobody else in the country does. But that's what Shacklet.
Where did they come up with that name, Shacklet?
From what I understand, that's the name of some geologic formation that goes through that whole valley. And where it came from, I'm not real sure, but it's the Shacklet formation that goes through that.
Barry, just briefly, and I know that is where, if we wanted to have one of priorities that I have designated for the highways that I would like to see, some of these narrow stripped roads have shoulders put on. We have, like, for example, the Alaska Highway and the Richardson Highway are of the old width. I think they're 22 or 24 foot base. So what you have is you have the white lines on the side are right on the pavement, and there's no shoulder or there's no safety factor on the outside. So if a if a bus or a camper or a car has a blowout or has a breakdown, there's only one place for them to stay, and that's right in the main line of traffic. Where in this menu of programs is there a place in safety or other that a person could go for extracurricular activities and getting shoulders out there without redesigning the whole route? Yeah, you understand the question?
Well, I understood everything until that last sentence.
Understand, because they have been telling me that, well, Senator, hold on, because we're redesigning that route, and that's where we're putting the money. They say that they lead me to believe that there's no money available for just having a shoulder program.
Well, you can do that under what they call the 3R categories, and those go for the primary and the secondary as far as that goes. But it's still going to total up to 161 million. You know, it's extra money, but you know
it's part of the allocation. All right, and then what about that answers me partly. I'll get back with you on it because I'm still a little bit concerned about the allocation for that. Then how about the Secretary Dole's new safety program? Is that in here? Is that in this D?
Well, Secretary Dole's safety program.
Safety inspection program.
Oh, for the
trucks and buses.
For the trucks. No, that's not in there at all. That's separate money.
That's separate money?
Yeah. And the other day when I talked to Senator Fakes a little bit, because that was one area that it looked like y'all could be getting some funding that you're not currently utilizing. And I thought it was easier to get than it is. And whenever I started doing some researching, it's not nearly as easy as I thought it was. What it boils down to is you could get $50,000 to develop a truck inspection program, and then you could get about $225,000 each year to augment or to expand your existing inspection program if you had some, have a plan.
Yeah, somebody had indicated to me that the amount of money that was available through the federal program wasn't worth the paperwork that was required.
Yeah.
And you would spend twice as much money developing the paperwork as what you would be getting.
And probably until this year. Well, you know, whenever you start getting $225,000 and it's, you only have to put up 20% to match that, it really isn't that tough to do. But one of the main things here, in order to qualify for that, you've got to have some, you've got to either adopt the federal motor carrier safety regulations, or you've got to create some of your own. And those regulations, they're already adopted, they're already developed, but
they're
hard to read. And they're
thick. I'm the last person that's going to adopt something by reference.
Yeah.
Thank you, Barry. I think that, go ahead.
Yes.
I've got other programs.
The question I have, if we have a federal road on the system, and in the case I'm thinking of, we last year, let's say, said we want $2 million towards paving that road. Now, the local borough is saying, hey, you know, we have a hard time waiting, and we'd like to contribute $1 million. Of local money toward that road. How does that tie in with you? Do you object to that?
Nope, not at all.
Okay, so if they were to do it, they would have to do it, first of all, to federal standards, whatever they are, right? But you have no objection to the borough. It doesn't hinder their chances later, because I was under the impression that once the borough puts money in and starts doing it, now would they have to contract the state to do it, or could they as a borough do it?
It's according, if they're going to use federal funds, they have to have willpower, and they have to have something from the state, because we deal exclusively with the state.
Right.
So there would have to be an agreement between the state and the borough, that would allow the borough to do the work and get reimbursed from the state.
Or just do the work and have it put on the system, Barry. They wouldn't necessarily have to be reimbursed. I think what the senator is asking is that if they've got some money and they want to start the road.
It's an upgrade.
And it's an upgrading, and it's on, they want to make sure it's on the system. They're not looking for a reimbursement.
Oh, okay.
It's on the system, but the problem is, by the time they wait, Mr. Chairman, to get the federal dollars, they're getting a little impatient. So what they're saying is, let's pave the first 5 miles with local money, knowing that there were $2 million appropriated by the legislature, federal dollars, and $200,000 state matching is still sitting there somewhere. But instead of waiting on that, they want to get the thing moving with local money. So they won't be penalized when they do that. Okay.
The only time that you can get yourself into trouble in a situation like that is if, like, there's right-of-way involved, and if they don't follow the Uniform Act as far as acquiring right-of-way. If they go out and twist arms and say, you donate your right-of-way, and then you go ahead and build, we can't come back in later and spend federal funds on something like that.
Once it's spent, it's spent, just like this bus situation.
Mm-hmm.
Once it's spent, it's spent.
Okay.
And you can't go back and dip.
But if they wanted to go ahead and do what you're saying, I think it's wonderful.
It's almost 5 o'clock, and I hate to keep you here, but one question, and then, Barry, when we go back to the formula, column A, column B, the total sum of those two are the projects that basically the state said we're interested in. Then they came along and said, you're only going to get $161 million, so it's your call. State of Alaska, where do you want to cut back the 42.7? So the 42.7, the state come back and said, well, to the federal highway administration, this is where we're going to cut back. So then, I'm trying to follow the sequence here. So then, 1986, we come along, and there's $172 million. And we take the $42 million that was cut back of unobligated funds due the state, which brought us to column D, which says there's $214 million now available out of the Highway Trust Fund to the state. The federal administration come back and said there's only going to be $142 million available for you. So now the call is for the state to come and give us column E, which says this is where we're going to spend it.
I think what they'll end up doing, see, we've got a list of projects that cover probably $214 million plus that they would like to be able to fund this year. And I've already told them we've only got 147, so I'm sure that they're looking right now through that list saying here's the ones that, well, first of all, they would go through and say, geez, we're having a problem on these, so I know that we can't get those to contract this year, so let's move them over here another year. And then they'll look and see which ones they could get, and they'll go through there and come up with projects that in their opinion are the highest priority to utilize the 147.
Last question. Then, this thing could go on all night, because then comes the six-year plan.
Yeah. Hopefully that first scenario was part of that six-year plan.
And this, I think, is where we as legislators are interested. On the six-year plan for the northern region, there is priority 1, 2, 3, 4. And we're assuming that priority 1, 2, 3, 4, but then all of a sudden somebody makes the decision call in the state that it's going to be 10, 11, and 12. And that's done on a, not necessarily on an engineering, but on a political decision. Then our call, the legislature, is to go to the administration, DOT, and say, these are the ones that we're definitely interested in. That's our call. I think that we've kept very, very, we certainly appreciate your time and your frankness, and we may want to call you back. Would that be perfectly
all right?
Fine. Are you going to be around?
And I do apologize for, it's hard to explain these type things, you know, the obligational controls and the authorizations.
Yeah.
And
but I think you did an excellent
right.
job, because this chart tracked it right down for us. And I think that this is exactly what we were asking. It's exactly what we wanted you over for, is to go through, because we get so much saying, well, there's no federal money, or that we haven't got that on the program or something. And this gives the committee, because like I was telling you at the beginning, we're hoping that next year in the organization of the Senate, that this committee will be represented on the subcommittee of the finance as a part of the mechanism. Not that we're cut out of it, but we're not a part of the mainstream
mm-hmm.
of it. Is there any other?
Mm-hmm.
Not why committees that are...